Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Are you just so blessed with this portion of Scripture that we have had to study in the last few weeks? Just amazed. This familiar prayer that we have studied for so many years, have known since our childhood, and yet it can become so new and fresh to each one of us as we look at it with new eyes, as we begin to explore it and make it real for ourselves. I loved last week, one of the questions in our study is, what would you consider a daily life in the life of Jesus to be like? Did you love that? I hope you had a great time discussing that in your groups. And I just thought, you know, Jesus' day just was so filled with prayer, wasn't it? He knew that every time he would go out to meet these maddening crowds around him, he needed to first go to his Father. He needed to wait on his Father. He needed to wait on his Father in the cool of night. He needed to wait on his Father in the heat of day. And as the disciples observed him, and as they observed his life, they saw how deeply entrenched he was in prayer and in drawing near to the Father's heart. And so they said to him one day, they said, Lord, we want what you've got. Lord, teach us to pray. And that is where our study is in this section of Scripture. You know, years ago, I was having a surgery, one of many. It was a minor surgery, but the doctor had called me into his office, into his area where his desk was, not just in the waiting area. And I was sitting across from him at his desk, and he says, "Okay, I want to prepare you for this surgery, and not just physically, but I want to prepare you mentally for this surgery. So in the days to come before your surgery, I want you to only think positive thoughts. I want you to think on good thoughts. I want you to picture the surgery going in and working what it's supposed to do. I want you to picture good things happening and that it's going to produce a good end." And he's telling me all of this kind of new age thinking to just think on good things and then good things will happen. And I thought, wow, that's great. But you know what? I can pray. I have a God who loves me and cares about me and concerned about me, and I know that he hears me. Like, say if I was to pray to this donut here on your desk, and I was to ask this donut to help me in the surgery, the donut has no power to help me. I said, faith is only as good as the object in which it's placed, and I can place my faith in a good, loving Father who loves me, and I know that it's going to be just fine. I'm not worried about it a bit. And he said, "Oh, good, thank you. That's great." You know, so you know, my prayers and my thoughts—they need a place to land, don't they? They are not just these nebulous good thoughts floating off into outer space somewhere, right? They need an address, don't they? I can pray to my Heavenly Father. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father." Our Father is our first point of our message tonight. Our Father is our address of our prayers. Our Father, those two words, right? So many times as speakers, we get these portions of Scripture that handed to us, and they're chapters and chapters and chapters, and we're thinking, okay, how can I fit all these chapters in this small portion of time? Well, today we have just two words, so piece of cake, right? Right. Our Father. Think about that. And I think about that of all of the hundreds of descriptive titles that are used to describe our God throughout Scripture. This is the one title that Jesus chose. Our Father. Our Father encapsulates the heart of God for us, doesn't it? He is the originator and the sustainer of life. In this title, Our Father, we see his provision and we see his protection. In this title, Our Father, we see his authority and we see his guardianship. In this title, Our Father, we see his care and his watchfulness. And all of these things are springing up out of his goodness and his love for us. Oh, our Father. You know, so many of us, you know, how many of you out there have a father? Everybody has had a father, right? Okay, but so often our picture of our Heavenly Father can be viewed in light of maybe what we have seen our earthly father to be like, which can be great if you've had a good father, right? Many of you have had a good, accepting, loving, kind, and gracious father, and so you can view your Heavenly Father in that same way, one who's provided for you, one who's taken care of you, and was there for you. But maybe you grew up as a child in a single-parent home. Maybe you had no father. You know, I was looking up some fatherless home statistics, and if you grew up in a home with no father, you were 4 times more likely to be poor. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 85% of behavior disorders among children come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. And 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. Oh, how we need our Father. Maybe you've had bad experiences with your father. Maybe you had a father. Maybe they were overly critical of you. Maybe they were non-supportive. Maybe they were workaholics and they weren't present at many of your key events in life. Maybe you had a distant or impersonal or uncaring father. Maybe they were just outright angry or abusive. I would listen to the saddest story and yet a redeeming story the other night on the radio when it was on KKLA, and a man was sharing when he is involved in a ministry that's involved in rescuing people or just rescuing their souls after they've been damaged from sexual slavery. He had an alcoholic father, and he was very disappointed that he was not the girl that he had wanted. And so he grew up in a home where his father despised him. And his father, in order to support his alcohol habit, decided he would sell his sons into sexual slavery. It's just beyond what our minds can happen that a father could do that to his son. No matter what kind of home you grew up in, know that you have a good Heavenly Father. And that's what this man, that's the redeeming factor of the story, was that this man was involved in rescuing people and letting them know that no matter what kind of father that they had, that they too can have a good Heavenly Father. He viewed himself as Joseph did, that though man meant it for evil, yet God meant it for good. God has a good purpose because he is a good Heavenly Father. He loves us, ladies, with an everlasting love. Do you know that today? Do you know his love for you? Do you know who your God is that we're praying to? God himself. Isn't that amazing too? Our Father is God himself. God, the creator of the universe, is our Father. And he wants to be our Father. He desires to be our Father. Does that just blow your mind? It just, this square footage right here cannot comprehend that thought. It's too big for my mind to even begin to fathom. How could he love me? How could he love the person that I know that I am inside? And yet he does. He cares for me. He cares for you. He knows what goes on in here as well. And he loves you and he cares for you. God is the Father who is always home. He is the Father whose door is always open, and he is the Father whose arms are always opened wide. He wants to spend intimate time with us. He says, come into that secret place and just spend time with me alone, just you and I. And you know what? I thought about that for a minute. I thought, you know, so often when you go out to dinner or something, you invite a few people with you just in case the conversation lags a little bit. Well, God never does that with us, does he? He never says, no, you know, we might run out of things to say or talk about, so why don't you bring a couple of your friends along? No, he says, I want you. I want just you right now. I want to hear all that's going on with you, and I want to share all that's going on with me in my heart. God has called us. We read in Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He wants to reveal himself to us. Everything we need is found in our Father. But we need to ask ourselves, is God our Father? Our second point is that we are adopted into his family. You know, one day I was shopping about a month ago for a present, for a birthday present for a friend, and she is just so sweet. And I went up and I'm talking to my salesperson, and she was just the most gorgeous, young, beautiful Muslim girl, and she was just so sweet to me. And I'm just sharing why I wanted to buy this present. And she said, this person you're buying this for, this must be like a really close relative or your daughter or your mother. I go, no, she's just a friend. But she's so generous and so sweet. And I just want to get her something really nice because she's always doing something for somebody else. And she goes, oh, I wish I had a friend like that. And she shared with me how she has, you know, longing for those kind of friendships. And I said, well, it's because she knows the Lord. And she's like, well, yes, we're all part of God's family, right? We are all God's children. And I said, well, yes, God created us all. He is the Father of us all in the fact that he created us. But, and then she said, well, all religions are the same, aren't they? And, you know, everything, we all believe basically the same thing. And I said, well, not exactly. I said, God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. This Christianity is not a religion. It's different. It's not about just a list of facts and do's and don'ts. It's about our Father who wants to have a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can have a relationship with God is through Jesus. And so I was able to share the gospel with her. And she was just so sweet and so receptive. And I was blown away. You know, ladies, I love what Spurgeon said. He says, we are God's children twice over. First by creation, and second by adoption. Second by adoption. Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, what, ladies? Say it with me. Abba, Abba, Father. Isn't that so sweet? Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that amazing? He has adopted us into his family. I love what Psalm 68:5 says, that he is a father to the fatherless. We were fatherless before, and now we have a father. You know, I am so blessed to have 11 beautiful grandchildren. And they, as everybody who is a grandmother out here knows, that your grandchildren are the joy and rejoicing of your heart, right? And they are just so amazing. And I remember one of our granddaughters when she was at the age of 3, when she found out what an orphan was, her eyes got as big as saucers. And she said, You mean they have no mommy? And you mean they have no daddy? And she just burst into tears. The thought of that was just beyond what she could even imagine. And since, you know, we adopted different children through Bridge of Hope, and they would pray for them regularly. But I think her mom and dad and my other son also had that same compassion in their heart as well to adopt. And so they chose to adopt and go through these proceedings. And while they were in the midst of them, I know my oldest son and daughter-in-law also all of a sudden had this heart where they wanted to adopt as well. And so my oldest son and my daughter both adopted a little boy from each. No, they don't share him. Each from the Congo. They were both in the same orphanage. And they are just so precious. And then my daughter, a year later, adopted a little one from Ethiopia. And she is the spice of our life. She is almost four. And I tell you, they are amazing. They are just such a huge part of our life. And each and every one of them have the same exact rights as the other one does. They are all viewed equal in our lives. They are all our favorites, right? We love them all with this great love, and every one of them can come on our laps, and we just want to kiss them and love them to death. The boys always want to run away from you. Now they're getting at that age, but you want to just grab them and smother them, right? They're all the same in our eyes. They have the same rights as the other kids, and we view them all as our children. Oh, that's the same with the Lord. That spirit of adoption where we can cry out, Abba, Father. He is our Heavenly Father. I know in the Roman culture, they would choose to adopt so that they could carry on the name and they could perpetuate their name and inherit their estate. And so often those ones that were adopted, those were the ones that actually they had the Father's affection even more. They enjoyed His affection even more, and they produced His character even more. They knew that they were chosen, right? If you were adopted, it's because I chose you. God chose you. He chose me. Isn't that just so amazing? He chose us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's called us into this intimate of all relationships with Him. And I have that sense of belonging, and I know that I can come and crawl up on my Father's lap any time of any day and just cry, Daddy, this is what's going on in my life. These are my hurts. These are my heartaches. And He hears me. He always has that listening ear for me. And I can come and I can just look up at Him and know that He is there. His door is always, always open. Oh, amazing, amazing. Do you remember the day when you were born again? Do you remember that day? I remember that, and I was like, I knew that I was now a child of God. There was no mistaking it, no swaying, and I knew that I belonged to Him, and no one was going to take away what God has given me. So amazing. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Amazing, amazing love. Our point number three is that we now have access to the Father. Ephesians 2:18 says, for by Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Last week, I went to the doctors to see my wonderful Jewish doctor. And I've had him for about 30 years, and so we've watched our kids have grown up to get all these things. So we share little bits and pieces throughout the year. He knows I'm a Christian. And we talked about me for a little while, which was while I was there. And so he had his notebook open, and he's got his pen, and he's sitting down, and puts his pen down, and he goes, can I ask you a religious question? And I'm like, sure, sure. And so he says, okay, I went to one of my neighbor's house, or I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and he shared with me that his pastor said that Jesus was loving but not tolerant. And I said, well, I'd have to know how he framed that question, but it would be like if you were to say that person over there is dying of this deadly disease and it's going to bring death for sure, but you have the antidote and you know it. And he jumps and his eyes get really big and he goes, right, right. And I go, right, so if you don't share it with them, then that's not love, right? He goes, right. So we were finishing each other's sentences, and he said, so if you're a Christian and you say that Jesus is the way, not just a way, but the way, These are words coming out of my Jewish doctor's mouth, lips. And so if you share that Jesus is the way, and I said, right, and you don't share it, then that's not love, right? He goes, yes. And I said, you know what is amazing about this is right before I was coming here, I was preparing for a message. I'm speaking next week, this message today. And I said, right before I was coming here, I went, oh, I thought about this verse, this very verse, John 14:6. And I wrote, ran upstairs to write it down in my notes. And that verse says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And then I was able to share with him why Jesus was the way. And meanwhile, his waiting room is filling up and filling up. And we had like a 15-minute conversation, mind you. And I shared with him how Abraham in the Old Testament was offering up his only son Isaac to God. And right before he is about to put in the knife, he was stopped by the angel of the Lord. And he said, wait, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. The Lord himself is the sacrifice. He is the lamb that was provided. And then I shared in Exodus how with Moses, how when Moses was, when they were about to go out, when they were out in the desert and with the children of Israel, when they were to kill the Passover lamb and they were to take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintels of their houses, and therefore the angel of death would pass over them in judgment because of the blood of the lamb. And I said, the Old Testament, all these feast days that you celebrate, they all point to Jesus. They all point directly to him. And I said, so for you to believe in Jesus is not to deny anything that you've believed in the past. It's just the next step. And so I was able to share with him. I know, right? I know. It was, and then it went on. And I was saying, so because of Jesus, we have access to the Father because his blood covers us and cleanses us from all sins. But this gift to it, it is a gift and it's made available to all those people that we can talk about being intolerant of. Those are the ones Jesus died for. He loves them. And that gift is available to all, each and every one of us, so that we no longer have to appear before God as judge, but as Father. Isn't that amazing? And that while Jesus was on the cross, as he is on the cross and he cried out, it is finished. Right after that moment, it says that the veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, thereby making access to the Holy of Holies. We now had the right to approach a holy God because our Father is holy and we cannot approach him because we have been separated by our sins. And yet now we can, because that access is made available because our sins have been paid for in full. Is that just amazing? We have access into God's presence. It's open. The gates are open wide. The doors are open because of Jesus. Amazing love. Isn't that just blow your mind, ladies? Oh, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Oh, amazing access. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly to the throne of grace and now can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amazing grace. Amazing love. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. Amazing. Now, our fourth point is to acquaint ourselves with him. But before I come to him, before I come and approach him with my grocery list of requests, first, This is what I need to do. I need to acquaint myself with him first. Job 22:21 says, "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you." God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, how would you describe your father? Who is he? Well, as we talked about, there's not enough time in the next few minutes to begin to describe him, let alone in this lifetime, and that's why we have all of eternity to begin to acquaint ourselves with God. Doesn't that just bring joy to your heart? It doesn't stop now. It doesn't stop in the morning. We continually, it's our relationship, we continually acquaint ourselves with him. Oh, we acquaint ourselves with him through his word. Isn't that amazing that he has given us this beautiful love letter, this redemption story from beginning to end, the story of redemption, and we can know our God through the pages of Holy Scripture. It's mind-boggling. We can know the Father's heart for us. We can know his will. We can know his character. We can know all about him. I love to pray, and as I'm praying, just to have the word open as I'm reading, let that be a prayer as well. And as we are praying, ask your Father to reveal himself to you. I love our question number two that we have in our lesson each week. And it says, after you've read the passage, it says, what insight does this give you into God's ways and our relationship to him? You know, we can ask ourselves that question every time we go to the word of God. Lord, what are you trying to tell me about yourself? What does this tell me about your ways and my relationship to you? We can know him more through his word. Who is he? Our Father, as we talked about, he is God. He is God. He's the all-wise God. He is able to give you wisdom beyond your wildest dreams if you just ask for it. He is able to help you with every decision there is in life. He's the one that's able to guide you and to steer you. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. He knows what tomorrow holds for you. We don't know, but he knows. And so we know that we can put him in the driver's seat because he's the one that sees around the corners, right? We can't see around the corners, but I'm able to put my trust fully in him because he knows what my future holds. He's all-powerful. There's nothing that comes my way that my God can't handle. We can look at it with our finite minds and think there's no way on earth there's a solution to this problem or dilemma, but nothing is too hard for our God. As Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens with the power of your outstretched arm. There is nothing that is too hard for you." Righteous and just in all of his ways. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is just. Maybe you think that there's things in your life that have happened that aren't fair. But our God, he's going to exact justice. He sees what's going on. And it may not happen today, but it's going to happen in its time. And why is that? Because he's long-suffering, because he's waiting. He's waiting for things to happen. He's so patient with us, and he's patient with others as well. Oh, he is gracious. He is so gracious. I sin every minute of every hour of every day, and yet he is so gracious when I come to him to forgive my sins and to cleanse me of all of my righteousness. He just wants me to come and just have me receive what he has. He's slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. His love is abounding in my life. His faithfulness is abounding in my life. Every word, every jot and tittle of this word of God that we have here is true. You can stand upon every promise. You can say, well, that's good for her, and that promise is good for her, but I haven't seen that be true in my life. Yes, it is. God's word, God's promises are true for each and every one, and you can stand on them. You can stand upon the rock and know that it will never, ever fail you. God's word will never fail you. He will never fail you. Oh, this amazing love. We've talked about his love, and then we also know that God is love, but God is good, right? J.I. Packer says, God's love is an exercise in his goodness. Our Father is good. He is a good, good Father. The essence of his eternal nature is goodness. Psalm 52:1 says, the goodness of God endures continually. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good, and you do good. if God is good and he does good, then we know that what, ladies? Jeremiah 29:11, right? Probably a promise you all have committed to memory, that his plans for us are for good and not for evil, plans for a future and plans for a hope. He has a good end for us. Our Heavenly Father wants only good for our life. We know that from Romans 8:28-29 as well, right? He can take what man might mean for evil and he can work it together for good because he wants to what? Conform us into his image, right? He loves us. Our Father is giving. He gives out of his goodness. How much did Jesus give to adopt you into his family and to give you access to his throne? How much? Everything. He gave all, right? He gave his only begotten Son. You are priceless to him. You are the pearl of great price for which he sold all for to purchase. We can never doubt his love for us when we see the price that he paid for our adoption. Romans 8:32 says that he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things, all good things, right? Remember one time I was out to dinner with my mom and dad, and we were sitting there and we'd gone to this restaurant quite often, and my dad forgot his wallet. And as a little girl, I was absolutely mortified. Mortified. And they're just making jokes like, oh, you're going to have to go back in the back and wash dishes. And I'm like, oh, Dad, how could you? And they're laughing. I'm sure they have some deal worked out, you know, but they weren't telling me about it. And so I was such a worrywart as a kid, and I never forgot. And so every time we went out to dinner, I always asked my dad, do you have your wallet? Do you have your wallet? Our Heavenly Father never forgets his wallet. Never. His resources are inexhaustible. I love what Arthur Pink says. He says, God has in himself an inexhaustible treasure of all blessedness, enough to fill all things. Oh, all things. Knowing we have a good Father takes away all of our fear and anxiety, right? A one who never forgets his wallet. Oh, he takes care of all of our needs, we don't have to worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. If he cares for the birds of the sky and the grass of the field, how much more does he love his daughters here? He loves you. Oh, I love what Luke 12:32 says, don't fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You are the king's daughters and heirs to the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We have the keys to the kingdom. Oh, it is just so amazing. How much more will our Heavenly Father, how much more will he give to those who ask him? He only gives good things to us. When I go to that secret place with my Heavenly Father, I find treasures waiting for me, inexhaustible resources. And I don't know, how many of you have gone to Disneyland? I know some of you are frequent flyers over here. But when we go to Disneyland, how many of you have been on Pirates of the Caribbean? Okay, we all know that ride too, right? Yo-ho, yo-ho. And so I remember rounding the corner as a young one too and going, oh. My eyes were big as saucers. Like, all that gold and those jewels and all those treasures laying there. And there's just mounds and mounds and heaps and heaps and heaps. And enough to, you couldn't possibly spend all that in your whole lifetime. Oh, so I pictured the treasure room when we go to our Lord. He has inexhaustible resources. His mercies, they're new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. His peace, it passes all human understanding. His grace is greater than all of our sins, and it's sufficient for all of our needs. And his love endures forever. Forever. Amazing resources we have. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Isn't that amazing? There is no shadow of turning with our Heavenly Father. He's always the same. He doesn't have that Santa Claus type of love where he loves you if you're naughty or nice. He always loves you, and he always wants to give you his grace, not because you earn it or deserve it, but because he's good. He's good. It's grace. It's a gift. Oh, I love in Luke 15, we can see the parable of the loving father. We also call it the parable of the prodigal son, but I love the fact that we see the father's heart in these verses. When his prodigal son comes to the end of himself and he says, he comes running back to him and he says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but take me on as your hired servant." And what do we see God? We see God running to him. We see God with his arms open wide. His arms are open wide first to receive this wounded sinner back into his arms. And then we see that his arms are open wide to give him everything he needs. He is there to give him forgiveness, grace, and love. Oh, his arms and his hands are ever outstretched. God is never standing there like this. He's always standing there like this, waiting to give you everything. Oh, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? Are you just filled? Amen. That, amen, because that brings us to our last point. As I acquaint myself with his ways and I see how big my God is and how much he gives us and how awesome it is to just have him as my heavenly father, I see how small my problems are in light of who he is, and I am filled with adoration and awe. Am I not? Oh, our Father, our Father. Andrew Murray says, "How often we speak that name without any sense of the unspeakable privilege of our relation to God. If we would just take time to worship him in his Father love, how the inner chamber would become to us the gate of heaven." When you gaze at your Father for who he is, for all he is, meditating upon him and his great love for you, I am filled with adoration and utter awe. It's like the little girl who went into her father's study while he was working, and she just plopped herself right beside him and just sat down on the floor beside him. And he said, "Oh, hi, honey. Is there anything I can help you with? Do you want anything?" And she says, "No, I'm just sitting here loving you." And that's what God wants for us, right? He wants us just to come to him as that little child, humbly, completely dependent upon him, just spending time just adoring him, realizing as we gaze upon him that all of our needs are met in him. He himself is all that we need. Spurgeon says, "Abba, Father." If you can say that, it's sweeter than the music of angels and cherubim. There is heaven in the depth of that word, Father. There is all I can ask, all my needs could demand, all my wishes might desire. I have all in all for all eternity when I can say, Heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? As we sit, as we gaze upon him, adoring him, what happens to us? Our hearts are changed, we're transformed, we take on his characteristics, we become, as we behold him, our faces become shining and glowing like Moses when he was transfigured before the Father. I love what Amy Grant shared years ago, her song that she had. It was called Father's Eyes. And I need to ask myself, do I have my father's eyes? Do I have eyes that see the hurting and the fatherless? Those who don't have a heavenly father. Do I have my father's heart of compassion? I think about my little granddaughter just weeping when she realized what an orphan was. Do I want others to know my father's love? Jesus did. Love his prayer. He prayed for us in John 17. And in verse 23, he prays regarding us. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The Father loves us the same as he loves his only begotten Son. Mind-blowing. And not only does he love us, but he loves your neighbor next door. He loves our dear friend, our dear Muslim friend, our dear Jewish friend, our dear person who is in the New Age movement. Our Father is not finished adding to his family. There are more children to adopt. He wants more to be able to cry out, Our Father. Oh, we want the world to see how much he loves them. That was Jesus' heart. Is that our heart? That's the heart of the Father, that we might know his love for us. Do we know our Father? Do we know his love for us? We bow our hearts in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us into this most awesome relationship with you. But Lord, we pray even today for those that may not know you as our Father. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, that they would know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of your love for them, Lord. We pray that they would know the Savior's touch, that they would know the Savior's love. And today, if there's anybody here that doesn't know that, Lord, we thank you that you have made that way available through your Son. And that by just calling upon the name of Jesus, by believing in him, by trusting in him for his salvation, by admitting that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, by knowing that they're, when they come to you, Lord, that your arms are open wide and you are there willing to forgive them of all of their sins and bring them into your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we pray that if there's anybody here today, that they would receive that Father's love today. And so we thank you for that love that is available. And Lord, help us, Lord, to receive it, Lord, and help us, Lord, to give it. In Jesus' name, amen.